الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to make amal on this ayah, in which great injunctions, commands of Allah, and great favors of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has put in this ayah. That where we Allah has commanded us to fast, and that is to stay away from halal food and drink, and also from our halal sexual desires, and also fulfilled in a halal way with our halal wives. That is what roza fasting is basically. And then also that we kutiba alaykum as-siyam, where the ulama have written that on every part of the body Allah has made also rozas for us. And we find treatment, if a person is physically ill, some treatment, and he has become such a illness has come to him where he has become weak, and he can't do anything, he's gone very weak. So one treatment is by the doctors, that they will give it, they find the cause and then give him some medication, etc. But usually the cause is not eliminated, it is just that to keep him going, but the disease remains still in him. It comes up at any time again. On the other hand, the Hakim's treatment is to find the cause of the treatment, and they treat that, and then afterwards they will give him other medicine to make him strong, his body again. So we, our ruh has become weak, that we became ill for whatever reasons, indulging in sin, engaged in dunya, all these outside effects that are coming on us through different forms. So our ruh became weak, and the nafs, our body, became strong. So now the treatment they will do is first to take away the evil effects of the nafs, and after that give medicine to boost the body, to boost and make the soul strong. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala has given us our spiritual treatment in our spiritual hospital, and Allah made it at one time a double-edged sword that weakens the nafs at the one time, and at the same time strengthens the ruh also. And for that we have to keep a spiritual roza, not only a roza, an outward roza according to fiqh, but that we keep that roza that we have to, and that alhamdulillah everyone is doing, but we keep the spiritual roza also. And as we explained, like roza of the eyes also, that whatever, everything entailed with that we keep that roza also. We keep roza of the tongue also. And in the roza of the tongue, we don't speak lies also, no backbiting also, no swearing, no slandering also, no belittling of people. No matter who it is, your student also, you want to correct him, don't belittle him. Speak to him. Allah says, Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an. Allah is most compassionate, most kind. Allah is the one who taught the Qur'an. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say the connection here is that in the teaching of the Qur'an, let there be compassion and love. Shaykh Saleh Abadi, Rahmatullah Ali of Cape Town, said a successful Hifz Ustad is not only that one who makes the students happy, but he creates the love of the Quran in the student's heart. That is a successful student. And with that, if he has got the love of his Ustad also, as a man of deen, not just as a person, but as a man of deen, man of Allah, then the student has become extremely successful. So we should not speak to our, like they don't know their sabak, they did not come to classes. We say you are a donkey, you are a monkey, etc. They are very conscious, very sensitive about this, and it breaks a student. So we should be very careful. Our own children also, when we discipline them also, don't humiliate them. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Hadrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali used to say, in this zamana, your students, your children, the only way is to praise them, win them over with praises, not with punishment. They just go further in this zamana. And you with your tongue also, you use such words, you're breaking them, you're making them go further, to bring them closer. And whatever little good they do, praise them on that, and try and bring them closer with them, not with pushing them away, using such language, using such words, that you push them further away. So that is very, very important, the use of the tongue, and the misuse of the tongue. And in so many ways, the tongue can be misused. So all this belittling, slandering, being sarcastic, etc., the person should learn. And now in this Ramadan, if we do that effort, then our spiritual tongue will become strong. We will use it such a way. Like, for example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, an old lady came and said that my son is like addicted to sweet things, sugar. So if you can give him some advice. So Imam Sahib rahmatullah alayh said, come back tomorrow, day after tomorrow or something. After that, when she came, and he told the son, it's just so much of my son, my beloved son, the sweetness and that is very unhealthy. Don't have it, it's not good for your health. And the boy stopped also. So the mother said that you could tell him the first day also. Will you call me back again? So he said that I was having that, and then my words won't have an effect. And now that I stopped it myself, now when I say it, now it will have an effect. So those words, how we say it also, and our own condition, very, very important. So anyway, the roza of the eyes also, the roza of the tongue, of the ears also. And with regard to the roza of the ears, Allah also says in the Quran Sharif, with regard to the Jews, سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ. They listen to, they want to, for about lies. And the other one, سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمٍ آخِرِينَ. They hear in order to spy, to inform other people. Today, unfortunately, that also each one of us must see. And the enemies of Islam, they haven't spared any place or anyone from the spying. In the time of the Soviet Union, a husband wouldn't know if his wife is a spy. The wife wouldn't know if the husband is a spy. Parents wouldn't know if their children are spies. Children wouldn't know if their parents are spies. And they have placed their people everywhere, and nowhere is safe. Whether it's the Tabligh Jamaat, the Khanqa, the Darul Uloom, our Majlis, they put their people. And though they have got what now live streaming, we are presenting to them. And with the radio station, one of the main objections we had to it is that what they had to make so much effort and spend so much money to get our information, we are giving it to them ready-made now. So with all this, they're getting it ready-made. They don't have to even really put the spies also. Everything is just everywhere, it's available. And they can get whatever they want from it. But anyway, in spite of that, still, there are the spies also. So we must be careful that, and sometimes they are so shrewd and so sly that they won't pay us for it also. The way they will take out the information from us. And if we go and see Shaykh al-Hind, Hazrat Maulana Mahmood al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his spy was his confidant, the one who should sit with him all the time, who should make the paan and give to Hazrat to eat. And all the time. So in all his private meetings also, he was present. So we also sometimes we try and be present everywhere. And then we are listening also. And intentionally, willingly we are giving the information, or the information is taken out of us without us knowing it also. So we have to be very careful. This also the Quran Sharif warns us of, that we should not be spies. And we know that so sadly, with this virus on the over the radio station, They were telling you must spy the people and giving the phone numbers to who you should report to. For those who are going to the masjid, imagine a Muslim reporting somebody because he's going to the masjid and reporting to the non-Muslims and to get them to come and stop him from going to the masjid. How a person, if he does not think a little bit, what low levels he reaches. And no, you're not even making even any monetary gain, nothing. But just that fear was put in you, and now you think you're a big hero of saving people by not allowing them to go to the masjid, etc. So we should be very careful. Also, one great aspect of the ear, as we explained, it works like a funnel. But a funnel, if you want to pour in a bottle, and you put the funnel sideways, then how are you going to fill? You have to put the funnel horizontally over the bottle you want to. Now our ears are on the side, but Allah's great qudrat, if it was that if we now all want to hear bayan, for example, or we are hearing all the time, to hear we should turn our heads 180 degrees flat. All of us sitting here with our ears, with our heads flat, so the funnel is upwards. How should that be? What should it look like? And not practical also. We can't do it also. Allah, what is the qudrat, the mercy, the kindness, and the great, great power of Allah that our ears are sideways. And 360 degrees, all the sounds, they are funneling into the ear, and then they are going into the little passage, and then in the past the ear drum and inside, and all the details of that, and the message going to the brain, and the brain at what speed immediately changing it into the meaning, and the meaning is coming in our mind of what is being spoken. So all these are the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. There also we spoke about roza of the eyes, the tongue, the ears, and then our thoughts that come to us. And that is also a person, the thought, one thought comes. And also, Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that the thoughts which come in a namaz, which are good thoughts, those should be cherished. Maulana Salim Dhorat Sahib, the Ahmed Barakatum, says once he was in the Haram of Mecca, and while in namaz, he got the thought of compiling a certain kitab on a certain subject. So he says, I did not delay with that, because his sheikh, he was bayat with Haji Farooq Sahib as well, Rahmatullah Ali, that such thoughts that come have got a lot of barakat in them. So such thoughts, good thoughts that come, then build those on those thoughts. That one thought can lead you to so much of goodness. A thought comes of just, I must change my life, my house, my family, all my conditions, what we are in, we must change it. That one thought, and it can bring such great changes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was overwhelmed, overtaken with the worry and concern and this thought of what is happening to my people. They worshipping these idols and all the other evils that were in them. On that Allah Ta'ala, that great worry that he had, Allah Ta'ala opened the doors of Nabuwat for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah made him his Nabi. And then Allah Ta'ala, what changes the whole Arabian Peninsula, Jaziratul Arab, was completely freed of all idol worship, etc. All these evils were totally eliminated. So the thoughts, they can be very good also, and they can be bad also. Then this is the time that we, this power of the thought, just use it in the right direction. And let good come out with this thought. Empires are built on one idea. On one thought that comes to a person, a great empire is built. And great empires are destroyed also by a thought. A person thinks of doing something wrong, etc. One person who owned properties from Durban, the whole north coast, every town, so many properties. But then unfortunately he went in the wrong direction, got involved in sin. The last, it wasn't still time of the cell phones, it was before that. He found the Mufti in usually contact, and he told him, today this is my last 2 rand that I've got, and I'm making a phone from a public phone. and I need some advice from you. So where a man who owned in every town property, how rich he was, but just that thought that took him in the wrong direction and got involved in so many wrong things. The time came when such a rich man, his last 2 rand he was spending. So the thoughts are very valuable also. We can make them valuable and they can be very destructive. Either we make them constructive or they become destructive. And it is Allah's system. If we don't make them constructive, then we don't have to make it destructive. They become themselves destructive. If we have, for example, our own body also. If you want to destroy your body, the simple thing, don't bath. Just stay dirty and automatically. So if you don't become constructive in cleaning yourself, anything, your car, your house, your garden, whatever you can think, a swimming pool, if you don't maintain it, that's all you have to do. Just don't maintain and the thing goes down. But sadly, today is the time that the actual effort of destruction is also done. Children, if you want to destroy them, don't teach them good manners. Just leave them like that. Let them do what they want to. And today it is taught that you must not reprimand the child. A child will call the police for his own mother and father, for even just shouting at the child. In some countries the laws are so, just to destroy everything. So laws are passed to destroy. So we have to be very careful. So Allah give us tawfiq. Another great type of roza that we have to keep also, after the roza of the eyes, the tongue, the ears, our thoughts, etc., our food. We do keep roza of the food, but whole day we don't eat. But the time of eating now, when we open our roza, what food are we eating? That also we have to see that we are eating the correct food. One person who was overweight, he went to the dietitian, and after the consultation, non-Muslim dietitian, the dietitian told him that you Muslims are commanded with a perfect way to maintain your health, and that is by fasting. And if you, on your fasting, you open your fast with fruit, and you people have been encouraged to open your fast with the king of fruit, that is khajur. And in khajur we get the king of khajur today, ajwa, all the best khajur, and of Medina Sharif we are getting. So we should appreciate that. So, and then the dietitian says the amount of benefit the body gets by fasting the whole day. You gave rest to your stomach, your whole system, and you allowed your stomach to clean out everything. But if you open your fast with deep fried, the amount of benefit you did, more harm you do by that first samosa you put in your mouth, or your first pie, or anything like that, any deep fries that you have. So if we want to have all that, at least open our roza with khajur and water. And mashallah, zamzam and ajwa nowadays. Zamzam and all the other wonderful fruit, khajur of Medina Sharif on that. And then afterwards, if you have to have your deep fry, which we should avoid, and if we have, at a minimum we should have it, then have it later, but open the roza. So what we eat, that is, you are what you eat. A person, we usually say, a person who is born when of that sperm that was made of that blood that was made of that food, like for example from Zamzam of Makkah Sharif, from there the parents had Zamzam and that contributed making the blood, the sperm was made, you were born from that, so you will be a Makki because your origin is that. And if you are the parents ate khajur of Medina Sharif, and from there the blood was made, the blood was made, and then the sperm, and you were born of that, you will be a Madani. And if the parents ate junk food, and from there you were born, so you will be a junkie. If the cap fits, you will wear it. That is what you are going to be. And then the parents will wonder where we went wrong. And the parents, they wonder, this child, why he is behaving like this? Why his habits are like this? He's hyperactive. Everything wrong there. It is we, the raw material we supply. So the result is going to be like that. So the food that we eat is very, very important also. In here, Allah Ta'ala says, one time, Hazrat Ji, Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, made a bayan and he said that you people always say, always only speak about namaz, roza, about deen things. Let us speak about food today. And he says, food is your favorite subject. And you all love your food. So, and what a bayan Hazrat gave of about 2 hours on food. And he started his bayan on the ayat, Ya Ayyuhar Rusul, where Allah is addressing the most superior people, more superior than the malaika, everyone, more superior than the anbiya, the rusul, who are the greatest people. Allah is addressing them and telling them, kulu minat tayyibat, eat from tayyibat. Allah didn't say kulu halalan, not halal, more higher than halal also. Halalan tayyiba, eat of that. And the automatic result of that will be وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. You will do righteous deeds. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, you eat halal and tayyiban, good food. You don't have to make an effort to do good deeds. Good deeds will just flow from you. And you eat all the wrong food, the junk food, and all other haram food, doubtful food. You don't have to make an effort to make guna. Gunas will just come. And even if you want to do good, you will just go towards guna. And if you eat the right food, even if you want to make guna, but you will just go towards righteousness. Food is a very important thing in our lives. And to eat, and this is the month which Allah has made ideal. The whole day we stay away from all halal food, junk food, any kind of food, haram food, we stay away. Now how foolish and stupid, we stayed away from all that. And when we open our roza, we open it with some doubtful thing. And we open it with some, perhaps Allah will protect us. In this time we may be opening our roza with haram food. And in there are 2 things to be considered. A person went to a butchery to buy meat. And he asked the butcher, is your meat halal? The butcher asked him, is your money halal? So both things have to be halal. Our money also, with what we purchase, that must also be halal. And what we purchase and what we're going to consume, that must also be halal. There is a little difference. If our money was not halal, it was wrong money, that we can still correct it. But the food we have eaten, if that was not halal, that we cannot correct. So our money matters. If somebody was doing wrong, he makes tawbah and now he corrects, he consults with the muftis, they show him the way out. And mashallah, there are so many people who came here for the khanqa, and after Ramadan, they came and sat with the muftis. And one person, his zakat he wasn't paying for, his whole life he didn't pay zakat. But that consciousness came into him, and this is Islam. Allah grant us all to have that, to make that Islam. He came and he sold his property. Some of his properties he sold, and then he was concerned. Such a huge amount of money, and now to give it to the right place, that's another big worry again. So, and then again, he had some properties outside the country, and selling there and getting the money transferred again, huge amounts of money. It was a whole exercise. But when the consciousness comes, a person does it. So if our income was not halal, we can correct it, make tawbah, and Allah changes it. Now it becomes halal. But the food that we ate, we know the famous story of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a doubtful morsel just passed, how he put his fingers and forced himself to vomit and take out that food again. They were so concerned about even a little bit of doubtful. So this is a concern that we should have. And it's just a matter of having that concern. We have our brother here, Maulana, from Australia. And Australia, the regulations are so hard as far as slaughtering. It's almost impossible, you can say, to slaughter your own chicken or even to go to a farm and slaughter. But mashallah, when that concern is there, a person does, where there's a will, there's a way. And Allah opens the ways also. In spite of all those difficult conditions, once in the UK, where also they are very strict with their laws, not as like Australia, but still they are also very strict. And we had a da'wah at one place, and the person said, I've cooked farm chickens for you today. And I've prepared the teeter, partridge. I said, yeah, in UK, you can manage this. So where there's a will, he explained how they did it. And there's a way to get around. And in all matters, like with the virus thing also, make Sharia the benchmark. And then work from here, that's what we want to do. Don't make the law of the government our benchmark. And we try and find loopholes in Sharia to suit the laws of the government. No, make our laws, the Quran and Hadith, our Sharia and our Fiqh, make that our benchmark. And then, within the countries, you can go and fight court cases also. Legally, you can oppose it also. There are different ways, avenues open to you to go and do your things legally also. But Sharia must be the benchmark. So yeah, also with our food, whoever makes, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, you see, usually used to quote that Allah Ta'ala will provide for a person, but make the intention. Peene ka irada to kare Shaykh, asman se mangaya jayega. That you decide, I want to do this, Allah will make the arrangement from above. But if we sit from the beginning, no, the laws are too difficult. I got no time to go and do my halal and that, and I don't know how to go about it. You become weaker. You go further back. But when you are determined, Allah will open the ways. And Allah makes it such that people will know that what you want to eat, etc. And people will go out of their way to give you what you want to eat. But you make the intention. So it's very, very important. The importance, if it can come into our heart, that what we eat, we must be particular. What goes down into our mouth, what goes down our throat, we must be very particular what we do. What we talk, that also we must be very particular. What we eat also. Allah says in this ayat to the Rasul, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, and the result will be وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. So we have to, if we are worried about that, Allah will open those days. And not only that you will do أَعْمَالِ صَالِحًا, which are physical acts that you will do, your thoughts will be purified, your iman and your heart's condition, spiritual heart, that will be corrected. And you will see very clearly and distinctly that those who just eat anything, what their lifestyle is, and those who are particular of what they eat, you will see their lifestyle. For your own self, the days when you are not particular and you are eating anything from anywhere, then what your own thoughts are, we complain, very evil thoughts come to me. What are we eating, we should see. One alim in America, they brought a child to him and told him, this boy is just not making headway in his hips. He just can't learn. The little bit he learns, he forgets also. He's just not making headway. Alim Allah gave him the understanding. He asked the first question, what is he eating? From where does he eat? It was McDonald's, Kentucky, all that was his food. So he says, close that completely and just give him house food. Proper house food. It wasn't 2 weeks and he was on his way. Now he just reads little and he remembers and it comes into him. So we should be very, very careful. If my tabiat, my nature is just going towards guna, my thoughts are evil, filthy thoughts all the time, and I'm just going to check our food. One of the major things that we have to check the food. And this advice perhaps very few people will give us. If we turn to Quran and Hadith, there we will get this advice. And the Quran Sharif, not only here, how many places the Quran Sharif is explicit on this matter. Hadith Sharif and the lives of the Sahaba and the pious, how they were particular about this. So we have to be very careful. When the new South Africa was came into being after 94, there was a program in which they were interviewing all the waiters, etc., and the people who prepare the food in the restaurants, etc. In that, they interviewed some people who were preparing the food at a very top restaurant in Sandton. It's an elite area, and it's patronized by what we call in dunya's terms top class people. And today everything is watched by TV. So those workers were caught that they were taking the spit, bringing it up, and then spitting onto the burgers that they were preparing, and they spread it out on there. So they were interviewed and asked about that it was wrong, of course, hygienically, everything according to the law also. But why are you doing that? These white people, the wrong they did to us, how they oppressed us, we are taking out our revenge in this way. And who is eating it? People who are like top people, they are the ones patronizing them. So we don't know what we are eating. One good friend of ours, Allah give him Jannah, he's gone to the mercy of Allah. He explained to us he had some rest in the ceiling. So he called the pest control. When the person came, a Muslim person, he did his job. But in the discussions they were having, he said, I was called to one of the major food outlets here in Mayfair, where all the food outlets are. And when I went there, the eating place, spick and span, clean, where you sit and you eat, the customers, the patrons come, clients, and they sit and eat. But the problem was in the kitchen. When I opened the kitchen door, he says it was impossible to believe that this is adjacent to this place where they are eating. Hey, what the kitchen was like, the food is lying on the ground. Rats, big rats, the size of cats are running around there. All that is taken from the deep freeze, which is a mortuary. Then it is put into the microwave, which is the fire of Jahannam. And then it is prepared and presented such a nice, clean way, and would release the food we are sitting and eating there. But where it came, and with all that rats and all the filth and lying on the ground, this was a one-on-one report. And so many others. One others where they interviewed the waiters of these places. And this is all just that we can get this thing out of our system. All this fast foods and this restaurant foods and takeaway foods. So one place they interviewed the waiters, and they told them that many times you get some customers who are like very show-offs. They are like very authoritative. They bring this for me, bring that. A person is paying for it, so he's demanding service, and you do this for me. So people who are hard like that. On one occasion, one person checking in at the airport, and there also many people got this attitude, very bossy attitude, as if they own that whole airline, and they are so treating that lady who was checking him in very rudely. But she, on the other hand, very calm and quiet. After he checked in, he went away. The next, an old lady came. She said, I saw what is happening, and I'm surprised how you handled it so well. You didn't say one word, and you were good to him, everything. How come you were so good? So she said, that was still the old days, now everything is more computerized than everything. She said that he is going to Australia, I send his goods to Tel Aviv. Now he'll go and suffer there. So we think we are bossing, at the end we suffer the consequence also. So with this, with the waiters also, we treat them like that. So they ask them, what do you do when you have customers like that? They say, what we do, this is what they reported also. They say that we take the food, prepare it in the plate, whatever it is, prepare it, then we go to the toilet. And we take water from the toilet pan and sprinkle it on it. And then we give it to him. And when he's releasing it, And he won't be saying subhanallah and mashallah. Whatever way he releases it, we are standing amongst ourselves and laughing at him. And we are making a big mock out of him. And what we are eating, really, more closer. One time in Lanesia, one family, the fair woman said, on a Saturday night, we are on strike, we're not cooking food. Today you people, the men, must feed us. In other words, go to the takeaways, buy the food and come and feed us. You feed us. So they bought burgers, pizzas, whatever. So the mother was sitting and her child was next to her. After a little while, the child said, Mama, what is this? And it was a whole ducha, whole cluster of hair in there. So the mother didn't want to make it known to anyone, so she just hushed it up and made the child quiet. After a little while, more hair came out. And then, now they couldn't hide it. And everyone, so this is the type of food. And not the story of 2 years ago, it's a regular feature. Not long ago, Heidefeld in the Cape, there one person who had his famous restaurant where he should buy his things. And what a story there also. Over and over, Allah make us that this comes out of us. This is not our system to eat all this and that. And today the extent that it has gone to, that our jamaats when they go, they insist some places, the people complain that they want only Kentucky food, or they want only food. And what a difference when Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi encountered the jamaats the first time. When they came to Tana Bowen, he went personally to go and meet them. When he went there to meet them, he found that some of the brothers who are in khidmat are getting wood from the trees, the jungle. Others are lighting the fire and they are cooking it themselves, the food. When he saw all this, he said, this jamaat, Ilyas ne Yas ko aas se badal diya. Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, when we had lost hope, what's going to happen to the ummah, he has brought the change that now we got great hope that the ummah will shine again. So that was that food they were eating. And if Maulana had to see today all the Kentucky boxes on the table, and it is so, on one place we went to, Maulana was our host, so I had made up my mind, today we can eat freely, we don't have to have any reservation. But the best, next worst thing that happened, the Kentucky boxes came on the dasturkhan. And then we wanted now, how are we going to eat here? So we have to be very, very careful what we eat, and it forms, the food that we eat, that produces the blood. The blood flows in the whole body. And that is, our life is our blood. Any part of the body, if blood does not reach there, then it becomes, gangrene will set in. It has to be cut off also. And if that blood is made of this filthy sources, then we can imagine the whole body, the brains, the eyes, they will only want to see haram. And that is why we have that great cherish that we want to see haram. And we can't enjoy our own halal wives also. That they don't look pretty to us. And they don't appeal to us. Because of the haram that has gone to the eye, the haram that's going to the tongue, to the ears, to all the parts of the body. Food is a very important thing. So we have to be very careful of what we eat. And where there's a well, there's a way. And one time, the cheese matter came up. It was in the old Jamiat with Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. There were other ulama, and the other ulama were wealthy also, and they enjoyed the cheese also. But the cheese, that time there wasn't halal cheese available. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi told them, if you don't eat cheese, you're not going to die. And that food, the vitamins and goodness of cheese, Allah will give it to you in some other food. So if you don't eat that, no problem. But don't get this haram, its system into you. So today also, today a person goes to a shopping mall, does his shopping. He's got his credit card with him. No more checks also, now just the credit card. And he goes with his trolley, perhaps his wife is worth or whoever, or alone also. And we just take from the shelves and we put into the trolley. And we come and we pay for it. We give our credit card and we are gone. With how many haram things we don't know has come in. And today, with this whole B and E numbers, how things have been camouflaged. When the British were fighting the Muslims in India, then the bullets used to be covered with fat made from pigs. So the Muslim soldiers who they had employed, they objected to them. Then they changed it, and eventually, after a process, they brought just E numbers. And today you don't know what is hidden in that E number. You read the ingredients, they made one side the law, ingredients must be disclosed. And you must write it on there, what the ingredients. But it's disclosed and it's not disclosed. Me and you, what we know, what is that E number? But anyway, even today, any person who is keen, a little bit keen, you can easily Google it and those E numbers see what it is. What is hidden in that E number, what it is. So we should be very careful of what we eat. Food that we eat, it comes in the body and it remains in the body, the effect of it, for 40 days. One good doctor, he's still there, our good friend, he's a diabetic, so because of that reason he does it. But Allah make it that for all, even the better reason, chicken he buys, now, presently, he doesn't just buy from any source. He gets live chicken and keeps them 3 days in a cage. For fowls, chicken, 3 days, that whole system of what they ate goes out. For us, our bodies, it takes 40 days, what we have eaten, for it to go out of the body, good or bad. He makes sure that he keeps those fowls for 3 days, home slaughtered, cleaned at home, and then he eats it. And as a diabetic, he finds a great, great difference in his health. All this chicken, the feed they are given, really, if we know what the feed is, the chicken are given fish feed, and the fish are given chicken feed. And the way it is adulterated, and what is put in there, we won't touch it. It looks very nice, the feed, once it's made, and in the packets we buy, but what is inside, we won't even want to touch the packet from outside also. So our food that we eat, we usually speak, we quote Haji Bhai Abdul Wahhab, Rahmatullah Ali of Raiwin. He told us when we were there, that the buzurgs of the past, if any murid for any reason, valid reason, they want to decrease his zikr, all they should do is let him eat food from the shops, the takeaways, etc. So one good friend of ours, Maulana Muhammad Saliji, who is in Phoenix now, once he spent 40 days in Pakistan, when he came back, he phoned me, he told me, Maulana, that's what you used to tell us. We, in our Jamaat, there was one person who was very emotional, crying a lot, turning to Allah, namaz, tilawat, dua, not sleeping and crying loudly. We found it difficult in the Jamaat. When we went to one village and we spoke to the old workers, they said, nothing, no problem. Just take him to a tea shop where they were serving tea, and preferably take him to a shop where there is music also. He said, we took him, and Abad, he just had his cup of tea, that music he heard, and his whole condition changed. So what we eat, where we eat it, how we eat it, all that is very, very important. You have the right food, and you eat it in the right environment, and Allahu Akbar. We are taught with Bismillah, the minimum at the start, Alhamdulillah at the end. In between, if we say Alhamdulillah, Allah loves that person. A person can become a wali of Allah just by his meal. What we love to do, our food, and we, Alhamdulillah, when we eat, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu. Allah makes you his wali in your eating. So food is also part of our life which we cannot do without. And if we do it in the right way, that just our eating can take us to great height. So we should be very, very particular of what we eat. And for everyone, it is possible to get the right food. And today we should be very careful. At one place, we had to eat. So it was also like something like a buffet style. So you had to go and take the food yourself. So we went to take, and we took fish. So the waiters who were there from Bangladesh, they were. They stopped us immediately, seeing our dressing and that. They say this fish has got wine in it. So we think fish is all right. And usually, the better recipes, the more expensive and the good ones for fish, they almost always have wine in it also. That wine must be added also. So when we order, like we have a fish meal on the aeroplane, we are thinking fish meal is quite in order, but we don't know what they are adding there also. Or we go to a restaurant and we order fish, there we don't know. And now it has come that in Saudi, Allah make naaf and make lot of du'as for Saudi, that the burgers are with pork. And it is across the board, and it's like common, open now. And one person of Saudi commented, with the pork, the booze follows the pork. So the next they will also sort of legalize. Also, it is common already, but they will legalize it also. And that you will get that. So we have to be very careful. One Muslim couple of South Africa, years ago, went to Malaysia. And the meatballs, kebabs they were having for breakfast, they really enjoyed them. So when they were leaving, the lady asked them, that give us the recipe. We would like to make this also. So they gave them the recipe. It was pork. And Malaysia, a Muslim country. You won't even think about asking about it. And they told them it was pork. So we have to be very careful of what we eat. Keep this roza also. Be very particular and eat halal and tayyiba. Halal food, and which is our money also, with which we purchase it, must be pure money. And see that is also pure food that we eat. And that will make your islah. You eat that, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, even if you want to commit guna now, you won't be able to commit. That food will be such, it will just take you to your heart will incline to the masjid, to namaz, to tilawat, to zikr. And if we are eating the wrong food, and we know, every one of us know our condition. We don't enjoy salah. We just want to get over with it. Our tilawat, sitting in the masjid, we don't enjoy. The wrong places, yes, that we will enjoy. And sitting on the phone, watching a film after film. One good friend of ours told us, Allah give him jannah, he has passed away. He was very, very appreciative and thankful. He said that first I should go home, like on a Saturday night, particularly no shop Sunday, and I should watch one filthy film at night, another filthy film. Then I go to bed about 1 o'clock, 1:30. Now I want to wake up my wife, and she's in a deep sleep. He says, endless problems. I'm aroused, and she's not interested at all. She's in a deep sleep. And then the next morning, she's got complaints, you disturb me. I got complaints, you're not satisfying me. Problems after problems. He says, but then, alhamdulillah, Allah changed my life. I go to bed straight after Isha. Whatever we want to, we have. And no problems. So we correct our lives. So all these wrong things that we do, it has a lot of repercussions. So just food is one basic thing. And we all have to eat. We are human beings. Allah made us such. But Allah made the halal sauce. And where Allah commanded us to eat halal, Allah will make the means of it also. Shaykh, peene ka to irada kare, asman se manga liya jayega. That you make your intention. Like, see, our brother is here, he's present. Ask him also. If anyone doesn't know, Australia, New Zealand, the food control from province to province, they are so strict. Forget what comes from outside the country. In your own country, you travel from one province to another, one state to another. They are so strict rules they have got. When you get off the airport, you just see all the signs about all the food. More than they worried about other things, they are worried about the food that you are bringing. One apple you are bringing. Anything that you bring, they've got big problems with it. But in that also, mashallah, and Allah made it easy. He makes sure he gets his halal food. And the result of it is also evident. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that our roza of food also, that when we open our roza, eat it. And also, very important, even halal and tayyiban must not be, we must not indulge in it. Not over the limit. At one time, I was caught up that now halal food, so you can eat as much. No, even halal food, eat to its limit only. And very fortunate, there are such people, mashallah, who eat very little. Eat nicely, no problem. In that, Hazrat Ji, Maulana Masihullah Sahib, his beautiful advice, eat your stomach full, don't eat your eye full. The what is in your eyes is much more than what your stomach needs. You still want that samosa, and you still want that pie. It's no more in the stomach, it's in the eye. And you just want it more. So full, eat your stomach. We are taught that eat one third food, one third water, and leave one third empty for the gases that are built up. So leave place for that also. But we fill it all with food. One person, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told us, he told the Hakim, gave him when he overate. And now he was, you are feeling terrible, very sick he was feeling. The Hakim gave him a powder to drink and water over it. So he told the Hakim, you stupid, your father who is a Hakim is stupid, your grandfather who was a Hakim, all stupid people. If I had so much place for that powder, I should eat another samosa. Why I'm going to have the powder? Give me something from outside I can rub on my stomach. That little powder also, I'll prefer to eat that. So when we just fill our stomachs, like even with halal and tayyiban, they also keep to the limit and see our health. See how nice we'll be. When we eat iftari, we open our roza with how many samosas and deep fries. Then after Maghrib, we're going to have a full meal again. Where is the heart going to incline for 20 rakats tarawih now? 37 rakats, 17 isha, 20 tarawih. Now you sit on your couch and before you know, you fast asleep. You'll open your eyes when tarawih and everything is over. Okay? So we eat just to eat to live. Don't live to eat. Our object of living today is eat. One person had a problem with his wife. Called me, we went there. So he explained that his wife doesn't cook fresh food. He says, I am food. I am food. He says, if kari khichdi is prepared and if it's served to me and then it's warmed again, I won't touch it. That and a ton of baked beans is the same to me. I want it from the stove on my plate. So much he wants his food. So he's particular about his food. So Allah Ta'ala, our food consumption, what we eat, how we eat, how much we eat, very important. And this is not even the tip of the iceberg about this. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, let us get more information about the food that we eat and how we should be eating and the postures that we are taught, the sunnah postures, all this are important. Today, generally, even good people, we at home, we sit at the table. On our chairs, and the chairs with the arm rest, and we take a rest. At the least a person will do is that at least the breakfast we have at the breakfast nook. We won't sit down on the floor and eat. We came back from Jamaat, we go back from Khanka, but when we're at home, we are sitting in a Western style, in an alien style to Islam. Our sitting position is wrong. Then what we are eating and how the wastage in our food also. How much of food at home we waste. The worst wasters of food are the hotel people and the aeroplane, the catering people. The ones that food plate is put there, you just touched it or you didn't touch it. Now it's not good enough for anyone else. Now it must just go in the dustbin. It can't be given, no arrangement can be made to give it to the poor also. The only place is in the dustbin, the hotels. We know how many people complain now that Muslims go to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, and it's almost, they're making it more, almost impossible that you have your own food. You must go to the restaurant and eat. And the wastage you see there, people dish out so much, and more than what, because it's, you have paid for it, now I must have it. Eh? And now you fill your plate, and how much can you eat in any case? And all that just goes in waste. And the whole world is filled with this wastage. all these catering places and all this the aeroplanes also, all this catering, the amount of waste that is done there. Allah, let us come right on our one basic thing, our food. Allah, give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.